So, you have the order of service sheet in front of you, and you can see the text that I've chosen to hang the message on this morning. Here it is, the 18th verse of Luke's Gospel, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Now, these are the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples 2,000 years ago. They look to me for all the world as if they are as relevant today as they were then. The old authorized version of the Bible puts it very nicely also. Take heed how you listen. Take heed how you listen. Consider carefully how you listen. I suspect this morning that the people who are thronging into the churches and all throughout this next week, at the top of the list, if I can put it this way, the wish list of the churches would be this, that the people who come into it might listen. After all, if I could have your attention, isn't it the truth that we want to be listened to? How many times have you perhaps said, or someone has said, well, listen. Are you listening to me? Aren't good relationships forged on the basis of people being willing to listen? Families, relationships, friendships, aren't they based upon the willingness to at least listen? And these basic essential things come through as we hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as if he's saying, I don't want my words to fall on deaf ears. Surely many of us will recall the famous Roman who said, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. That's it, lend me your ears. And so this is my appeal. At the very beginning, it's my introduction to the carol service. Lend me your ears. Of course, the truth is that many of us, when we come to consider anything about the Christian gospel, we've already come prejudiced. The building's not impressive enough. Oh, that man, I particularly didn't like that man who preached to us this morning, or whatever it might be. But surely the truth is like this. If it is the truth, it doesn't matter where you find it. If I said to you that I had found a diamond at the Cumberworth refuse dump, would it matter where it was found? It's still a diamond. And so it is with the truth of the gospel. It doesn't matter whether this place is unimpressive or the man who is preaching to you, for that matter, is unimpressive. What matters is the truth of it. And that's what we need to reach out to. Go beyond the ambiance, go beyond the poor individual who brings you the message of the gospel. It's the diamond itself. It's the glory of the Christian gospel that we want to take heed of. So Jesus says, consider carefully, take heed how you listen. This morning I'm going to just draw to your attention three different groupings, if you like, of people who come up in the Christmas story, and see what differing results we find with all of them, who, interestingly, they all listened. So first of all, the Magi. You all know about them. And it's true that these visitors find hardly any mention in the Bible. And so you might say to me immediately, well, we know what they saw, but what on earth did they listen to? What we know is that the word magi comes from an Iranian original word. All the very earliest records of the early church tell us that they were found in Persian dress. That fits with the fact that they came from the east. And they were obviously students of the stars. These were clever people. They knew the fact that there was going to be a king born. But listen to me, you're not telling me that they knew from the stars that a king was going to be born. Study of the stars will never tell you that a king is going to be born. Of course not. You might say that someone directed you in a particular place for a particular thing of interest, and they pointed you to the signs, but somewhere, at some point, someone said to you, this thing will be of interest to you, follow the signs. And that is exactly what happened with these, what are called wise men or kings or the magi. And it was like this. Those of you who know Old Testament history, 6-8 centuries before Christ came, the Jews were taken off into captivity. This is not make-believe, by the way. This is history. Any of you who are poo-pooing the idea of this is history, friends. Go to the British Museum in London. You'll see it all there and throughout the world. So here are the Jews taken off into captivity. While they were away in captivity, there they propagandized. Of course they did. Their belief, their hope in a Messiah. And this would have been passed on from one generation to the next, and then to the next, and then to the next. And they listened until it came all the way down to these men, who we call the kings, who we call the Magi. And they believed, and it wasn't a myth or a fable, it was a true Jewish hope. Until finally God revealed his Son, and then the star, whatever exactly it was, the star, led them to this extraordinary moment in their experience. And at the very least, I think all of you would surely say with me this morning, this is hugely impressive. They left their land of Persia, probably Iraq or Iran or Babylonia, and they made their way on the basis of what had been told them about the coming of the Messiah. You've got to be impressed with them. No matter what you think about Christianity this morning, you have to be impressed with these people. For them, on the basis of what they knew, of what they'd been told, of what was evidenced in the sign, they got up and they acted and they went out to seek the King. Actually, this shouldn't surprise any of us. I wonder how many of you got up and acted in June and went to the polling stations to cast your vote in the referendum. I'm not asking you to give me a show of hands, but some of you believed Boris Johnson. That's just the fact of it. I'm not knocking you for it. Or Nigel Farage, or David Cameron, or George Osborne. It's extraordinary. You believed Boris Johnson and David Cameron. And you got up and you went to the polling booth. You actually said, I believe this enough to actually act. We voted, as it were, with our feet. We decided that we would do something. And the star simply confirmed for these who believed that the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born and that he was worthy of worship, and it was worth making the journey to go and commit themselves to him. They were saying, yes, we believe in the Messiah. Yes, we believe in Jesus. We know that when they got to Jerusalem, they caused a stir. They caused a stir with Herod, and they caused a stir with all of the people. And you know what it is? It is so with every one of us that when and if we ever come to a point where we get off our backsides, as it were, stand up on our feet and dare to actually seek out the Saviour, we may well cause a stir. You're not telling me that in some families it didn't cause a stir, that some people voted yes when all the family was going to vote no. Of course it did. Of course it did. Or those who voted no when all the family were going to vote yes. Much to the consternation of family members. And what I'm saying to you is Boris Johnson got to them. He had to have done. Nigel Farage got to them. Cameron got to them. And they decided. And do you notice something? It has changed the outcome of this country. Whether you think it was for good or for ill, the fact is it has changed things forever. And when the Magi listened to whoever came to them and told them about the Messiah and they saw the sign, it changed them forever. And so it is with those of us who have come to embrace the Christian gospel, who've got up and walked out and actually believed by, as it were, walking out, pressing on and going to find the Saviour. This morning, the great message of the Christian gospel is that the Saviour comes. And I am telling you, he comes to save sinful people for which we may not have much in common. Many of us, we see each other maybe once a year. But this one thing we all have in common. We are fallen in our sinfulness and we know it. And we all need a Saviour who is the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are the Magi. Now, someone is probably going to say, yeah, these guys were intellectuals. These were clever chaps. I'm not such a clever bloke. I can't work all of this out. And you know, at the referendum, there were people like that. They said, I can't work all this stuff out. If we were really going to make the vote count, just give the vote to the people who know what this is all about. And there are those this morning who might say, well, do you have to be an intellectual to be able to work your way through all of this? No, not at all. Astronomers, scientists, the Magi may have been. But now we read about the shepherds. Oh, what kind of people were they? They would have been classed as labourers. They were not stupid, but they were ordinary folk. They had responsibilities to their flock. You'll make sense of this, some of you. They served the night shift. They were out in the fields at night. You say, where did they live? The scripture makes it clear. Their living at that time was out in the field at night. And when they heard the message, when they listened to what they were told about the Messiah, they hurried off and found Mary, and they'd listened carefully and they acted upon it. And some people say, I'm so terrified about what I hear about the Christian gospel. They can't act. Well, these guys were terrified. Because the scriptures say so. And when you hear about the message of the Christian gospel, some of you become terrified. It will mean this, it will mean that, it will mean the next thing. Sure it will. Well, they were terrified. But because they were sure about what they heard, they made the greatest decision of their lives. And they got up and they said, yes, they moved out of the fields, out of the hills, so to speak, where their work was. And they were willing to give themselves to find the Saviour. You've got to understand, of course, they had to leave their sheep behind. That would have meant their livelihood at that moment. It was very, very costly. And if some of you say, well, these were flights of fancy, come on, be fair to me. I ask you. These are tough, grizzled men. They're shepherds. These aren't people given to flights of fancy. They don't just leave their sheep behind, their livelihood, and then go off into the town to find a newborn baby. Who does that? And yet these men did. And the point is that I make again is that when they heard the message, they hurried off to find him. Now this Christmas, most of you again, just like last Christmas, you'll be in a hurry. You'll be in a hurry to do things. You know very well that you will be. We're like that every Christmas, aren't we? Of course we do. We get into a flux about everything. There's so much to do. We have a sense of urgency to do this, that, and the next thing. What about an urgency about the Christian gospel for the first time perhaps in your life? Make a decision to say yes. Make a decision to say yes. Vote with your feet. If I put it to you like this, I'm not being cruel and I'm not giving you any sense of how I think about the referendum. But come on, there are people here perhaps who actually believe Boris Johnson. This seems to me to be extraordinary. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ and you know about him. And yet, perhaps you do not believe in him. Many of us, all of our lives, have given the thumbs down. We've rejected him. We've been decisive, all right, but we've been decisive to say no. We've never heard the claims of the gospel, perhaps, and we've been prejudiced right from the beginning, and we wouldn't listen. And perhaps even now as I preach, perhaps there are some of you who say, I'm prejudiced, I don't want to listen, I'm too afraid of what this means, of what it will be, the consequences, if I were to believe in Christ. Think about the Magi. Think about how they listened and what they did and how they acted. Think about the shepherds, what they thought when they heard the message and how they responded. But you know, the Christmas account is full of characters. It's really like no other event in the Christian calendar. That's my own view of it. It's special in this regard. So some of you will be able to say, well, yes, I could put myself in the place of the Magi. Or somebody will say, I can put myself in the place of the shepherds. Or of Mary. Or of Elizabeth. And so on and so on and so forth. But then there's another character. And that's Herod. Now, just as it were, like a disclaimer, this character Herod comes forward in the story of the birth of Christ. And for all my 40 years of being a Christian, people have asked me about the veracity of the truth of the Bible. It's common today. It's very common. If I sent you off to read on the history of Herod, you wouldn't have enough time in this next week to be able to cover it all. I laugh when people question the veracity of the Bible. It is extraordinary. So his place in history is as rooted, concreted as that of Napoleon, Queen Elizabeth I, Oliver Cromwell, I don't care who it is. The BBC are running a series at the moment where a historian is actually playing a part in the account of Henry VIII and his wives. I heard the very beginning of it last week. She says the entirety of it is written. It's based on written accounts. We trust them to this day. You can trust me when I tell you now about Herod, this man who appears in the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. History records that he was capable. Now listen to me carefully. Capable. That he was crafty, that he was shrewd, and that he was also cruel. And you see, when the Magi arrived, this was a man who had already heard from the zealots, from the lips of the zealots, from the terrorists in Jerusalem, about their belief, their hope in the Messiah. It wouldn't have been alien to him, of course not. And quickly, he realizes that this Messiah, the king of the Jews, they're one and the same person. And now he needs to act. And so he calls all the religious leaders together. You can get a sense of it. He calls them together and he says to these religious leaders, would you tell me where this Messiah is going to be born? And although you don't get a sense of it in the text, maybe there's a time frame difference in terms of them actually recalling the truth of the scripture. But when they went back to the scripture, to the Old Testament account, lo and behold, what was found there but the very opening verse of scripture that I read to you this morning? The ancient writings of the Jewish Old Testament had revealed that this Messiah was to be born. Do you realise that this was a chance moment, as it were, for Herod? This was a chance of a lifetime. A chance for this really bad man to actually put his life right and to go in search of the Saviour. Here now he had an opportunity. The wise men were here. They would have even led him to the right place. The extraordinary light was shining. The leaders, the teachers, had drawn to his attention the great truth of the Old Testament. There it was, clearly in prophetic form. He had nothing to doubt. But he refused it. He turned down the chance of a lifetime. Instead of coming to Jesus Christ to receive him, he decided he would be better to kill him. And I'll show you what the application is now. Not that any of you, if you were given the chance, would ever consider the thought that you wanted to act with violence toward the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're very shrewd, aren't we? We're very shrewd. Because we are, we're very capable. We're capable even now of turning down the overtures, of killing the voice of reason, the voice that urges us to come to the Saviour. We're very, very able to do this. We might even be crafty, you see. Someone might come to us this morning and say, someone like me, and might say to us, well, what about you coming and hearing the Christian gospel week by week? Why don't you do it? One of the visitors here this morning might be met by a church member, and that church member might say, well, let me invite you to come next Sunday. Hear the glorious good news of the Christian gospel. And you know what you'd probably do? You'd probably kill it stone dead. It's a chance of a lifetime. But you'll kill it. I've got something else on. Do you know, I would have liked to have come, but I'm just too busy. I wouldn't be able to make it. 52 Sundays in a year when you couldn't possibly make it. This was an opportunity for Herod. The opportunity of a lifetime. And as it were, he voted with his feet and he said no. And how many people are just like that? Year in and year out, they say no. We silence his voice politely. And when the name of Jesus Christ is mentioned, we say, shh, don't mention that name too much. That's what we're like, friends. And it grieves me, it breaks my heart to think that in my lifetime, I'm 62 this year, so in my lifetime, I've seen the enormous demise of the Christian gospel. And it will almost die out apart from the ongoing ministry to actually preach Christ and him crucified, why he came, for our greatest need. We'll all die in our sins, friends, without him. We will, that is just the truth of it. We will be eternally lost. There will be no hope for us. There is no hope for us apart from him. Have you rubbished him all of your life when you should have loved him? The Magi came and they loved him. The shepherds came and they loved him. Herod hated him. His opportunity missed, gone forever. Now, I'm finishing. We had this nice cover for this morning, which was prepared. Yes, no, maybe. You know, to say maybe can be as bad as saying no. Maybe you've said maybe all of your life, and this is the day to say yes. Not yes to me, I'm pretty clear about that. Not yes to this church, never. But yes to the Saviour. Yes to him who was born to deliver us. To bring us into right relationship with God, to cancel our sins, our debt, to change us, to remake us forever. We'll sing this in the last hymn. You'll see the words. They're there staring you in the face. They are extraordinary. It is the power of God in the gospel. This is why Jesus Christ came, to alter us. Right up front, at the top of the list, God, it's not as if God's got it in small print. He says to us at Christmas, right up front, top of the list, he says to us, the reason why I sent my son into the world was to deal with you, to change you, to bring you back to me, to alter you forever. Will it be another year of maybe or another year of no? But hopefully, possibly, maybe this morning, there's someone who says here, this is the first year that I say yes, yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes to him who was born 2,000 years ago, but his truth still reigns supreme to this very day. This church could not be here apart from him. Not possible. couldn't be done. And the lives of those who have been changed and transformed by the gospel could not be what they are apart from Christ being in them. Final word. Surely you must know he came because we need him. You need him while you're alive. You're alive today. There is a possibility for you to know Jesus Christ as your Saviour. This is an opportunity of a lifetime. And I send out the very warmest, the friendliest welcome to encourage people to come back Sunday by Sunday and hear the preaching of God's word that sets forth Christ as Saviour. Hopefully, at the end of this meeting, you'll have a chance not to be crafty, not to say, I'll make an excuse, but perhaps honestly to engage and think about what's been said this morning. And maybe you might even be willing to accept an invitation to come back. Jesus said, listen up. That's the message for this Christmas. Listen up. Take heed how you listen. I trust that you've been able to listen to the message this morning. May God bless you, all of you, this Christmas time, and bless his word to us. Amen. Amen. Well, let's sing the final carol together, wonderful as it is. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Let's stand to sing.
Hark the herald.
gracious Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the newborn King whose name still continues to speak to us down through the ages, even to our present time. We thank you that he is the King of glory and that he is the Saviour of all who trust him. Come to us, Lord, and speak to us through the truth of your word this morning, and bless us together as we go into this Christmas time. We ask you that of all the things that make their impression upon us, that this might be the thing above everything else. Speak to us now as we commit our lives to you with the deepest thankfulness and praise, as we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.